Hey everyone, this is Greg Schwarzavosti with Cinematics and the Deepest Dream Channel. I'm here with Dale Fabregar. Am I pronouncing it correctly, Dale, or not?
Perfect. Perfect.
Okay. First off, I'm a sucker for, and this is not a pejorative, I'm a sucker for indie, low-budget driven projects because there's a lot of creativity that goes into it. First off, with They Crawl Beneath, was one of your attractions behind this movie the fact that it's not simply a horror film? There are different kind of narratives within the story.
Absolutely. You nailed it. You basically said it. It's a nuanced film. It's a film about survival, for sure. It's about monsters. Absolutely. And the fun of that. But there's a lot going on. Maybe someone would be critical and say maybe too much going on. But what really drew me to the project was this idea that it's complex. It's just not about escaping. There's the man.
Hey, sorry. I'm good. I just got the schedule now. The email popped up.
You made it. This is exciting because this is my first interview with Michael.
Glad to meet you, Michael. Dale was just talking about how I was appreciating the layered narrative behind They Crawl Beneath, and he was just answering as we speak. How?
Yeah.
The layered narrative. What did you say?
Narrative. Yeah, layered narrative. You know, it's also narrative. It's kind of part of it's a little bit of a father son story. Then there's this claustrophobic kind of thriller, and then it branches out. I don't know, maybe I was reading it wrong. Dale, was I kind of on the mark regarding the triplets of storytelling?
You
know, I guess.
I mean, Greg, I'm so impressed, and thank you for taking notice and feeling and noticing those layers. I mean, it's just enough to create a simple story about a man who's trying to escape, right? But you always have that second act. You got the first act and the last act. What happens in the last act? We're going to wait and find out. But what happens in the middle? That's, I think, as a filmmaker for me, that's one of the toughest parts, you know. But it's about, yeah, there's a lot going on. It's a relationship, father and son, perhaps relationships, your girlfriend or your wife, you know, there's a lot going on. And what's fun about this one, and obviously this didn't escape you, but the relationship between his uncle and him, really, not only does that exist, it progresses into a very interesting, strange way throughout the film. And to me, that was really a nice twist and development that I really liked working on with Michael and Joseph Almani.
Michael, on your end, your resume, filmography, and your career runs the gamut. But for something like They Crawl Beneath, do you find just what kind of nuance do you find working with Dale in this production where it's indie driven and there's just definitely a lot more nuance and a lot of gems to actually find? I'm a cinephile, so I'm not an actor, but I watch everything and I love these kind of little films. Did you really find a lot of gems behind working with Dale and the story?
Well, specifically what Dale was talking about, the layered relationship between me and Joe. You know, it seems like I'm just this the reckless uncle who he goes to when he has to, you know, drink too much, you know, race a car, do all the stuff that you don't get to do with your dad. You know, that was very interesting. And when the monster starts to overwhelm me, you know, that's where, you know, kind of like our lower self is taking over, you know, the selfish, aggressive beast that we need to subdue as people. You know, working with Dale, I did the Christmas movie with the Christmas Collision. And that was, you know, when it's a very delicate and subtle relationship, that's where an actor really gets to explore and do his job. You know, the broad strokes, you know, killing the monster and doing that. That's, you know, a lot of what goes in the trailer. But those moments in between, like Dale was saying, you know, it's like in life, everybody knows how to start and how to finish, but it's that time in between, you know, it's that time in between that is what life is. And that's what the movie is what happens between, you know, the inciting incident and the conclusion. That's the movie. How you get to the end, that's interesting.
You know, Dale, I don't know if you're part of Gen X or you're the generation afterwards, but what's it like working with someone like Michael, especially since you're a cinephile, you know the trajectory, you know, Michael's that old school actor who's reminiscent of guys like Robert Mitchum and Gary Cooper, these actors, and then there's that lineage. What's it like collaborating with him? And then also just getting to know him, like Michael was saying, between the time between. So it must be it's hard to put into words or soundbite, but what has been that experience for you?
nothing less than amazing. I'm a huge fan. You know, the first time I met you, But, you know, I will be honest. I mean, his resume, all the movies he's been in are so amazing, you know, but I'll always remember him many, you know, and like Eddie and the Cruisers and Streets of Fire. I just remember, man, how cool that dude was in Streets of Fire. Like back in the day, I mean, I, you know, it just always seared in my brain, you know, and those images and him and Willem Dafoe. I just like that kind of stuff and other films that he's done. He's just so many. But I remember meeting him first time real quick for the Christmas movie. And I was intimidated. I thought, oh, man, there's this tough guy. You know, I get to meet Michael Pare. Is this going to work? He's going to say, you're too soft. You're a jerk. But I mean, he's a fantastic actor and really does care. We went through the script, I believe, for that Christmas movie, almost page by page. We talked about the characters. And I thought, man, here's an actor, even at this level for just this budget, that he really cared. And to me, that just was amazing to me. And I felt, and I'm sure he does it in all the projects that he does. I can tell. I mean, he's just really good. And I had seen, he'd worked with our producer, Susanna, on another project before. So they knew each other. And that's what kind of brought us together. So, yeah, it was just amazing. It's so great working with him. It was kind of, and to see him working in, by the way, this role was written with Michael in mind from the very beginning. Having known him, I go, we need this guy who does this. And it's like, you know, and it was written with him. And we were just so lucky because it was during the pandemic or during that period. It was a tough time for scheduling. It's always, you want somebody and sometimes their schedules don't allow it. But we're just very lucky that it worked out. So,
Michael, I have a curious question. I was looking at a bunch of your interviews, and I think one of the interviews you mentioned that you love to write. One of your biggest passions is writing. You love to write, but also as the morning starts, you also meditate as well. Me being 51 and being neurotic, I've never done that. And I just, in the big picture, how has that helped your creative journey as far as working with so many different people and just still staying passionate regarding the craft? Is there some kind of linear progression where this meditation helps you as an artist, or am I picking apples and oranges with this question?
No, I think meditation is an important part for for anybody, but being an actor for so long, knowing where your center is and getting to that quiet spot, you know, that is, if you know who you are and where you are and what you are, then you can start, your imagination can start to flow. It's like, one of the tricks I do, you know, visualization, when I have a project early on, by the time we get to shooting, I've already visualized the scene like 100 times. So it's, you know, by that visualization process is what allows inspiration to come in, you know, and inspiration is like, you know, it's like touching your source. And that's what you're doing when you're meditating. You're turning off your thoughts and your emotions and your physical sensation and just getting to that center. And if there's questions or concerns in your life, that's where that inspiration will come from, if you can touch that center. And it's a practice. It's not something that you can turn on and off. You have to practice. And the longer you practice and the harder, well, it's not, the hard is not the right term. The more passionate you are about finding that quiet spot, you know, the longer you spend in meditation, the better chance you'll have of being inspired. Inspiration, you know, all artists are looking for inspiration. And I'm sorry, I get in all these calls. I don't know how to block out, you know, calls while we're Zooming. But inspiration is the key to art. You know, artists are inspired, and you have to get, I find that if I can get to that quiet spot, that's where inspiration comes from. If I'm having a problem with the scene, if I go over it and over it and over it by myself in my imagination, I get inspired and I find the solution. You know, I'll find the answer. And often it's on the page, but if you don't study it, you will miss it.
You know, on that point, Dale, where do you find your inspiration? Because you look at something like This Day Crawl Beneath, it could have been an easy A to B film, monster, garage. In a weird way, a subtle look at a young man trying to find his manhood and grow up. That's kind of really interesting. And where do you find your inspiration as a filmmaker in big picture? Because there's a lot more in this movie that people can glean. And I'm assuming one could assume the same for your career.
Wow. Well, thanks, Greg, for even for noticing. And yeah, there is a lot going on in there. And where I find my inspiration, I don't know, I find my inspiration from all over the place. I try to just be a sponge, you know. But I think I know that it probably, perhaps my family and my upbringing has affected me in the way I think and feel. I do my own type of focusing and meditation daily, you know, and my love of people and caring for them influences on perhaps maybe the style on how I approach a movie. Like, this is a horror movie. Let's kill everybody. You know, because that's what they want. They want to see the monsters and a lot of blood. I mean, sell, right? But I don't know. There's a certain, maybe I'm a little softer in that way, I'll admit. But yeah, this film to me, although it was a creature film, I mean, thematically was about, you know, a couple of things. It was about choices, you know, it could be about choices and the choices that you make, good or bad, and how they affect your life. And in the end, it was really about fighting for what's important and those that you love. That is sort of the, for me, I'm admitting that to you, that that was the undercurrent for me as I approached this movie. Obviously, it was about monsters. It's about survival. But what are you living for? I mean, I'll guarantee you that if many of us were in that situation, some of us would just give up. I mean, what can I do here? But why? Why do we keep going? What's the purpose of living? And so all of those subtly influence and, you know, guide me as with my intensity and focus on how do, does this character interact with each other and want to get through this, and my sensitivity to that, you know, again, that's kind of what drives me. I hope I answered your question.
Yeah, definitely. Very quickly, because I know you guys are really busy with this press day. So quick couple of questions. Michael, for my podcast co-host, he's a huge fan of your, I think you've done maybe 9 or 10 films with Uwe Ball, I believe, and he's a huge fan of these films. And he wanted me to ask you personally, what is it about your relationship with him that works and it's cultivated this the partnership? I mean, he's like a fan of that section. So
Uwe, well, Uwe and I, when we made our first movie, Sanctimony, I said, hey man, they put us in apartments instead of a hotel, and I said, hey dude, come over with the other producer and I'll cook, you know. And we started cooking together, you know. I made coq au vin with morels and with wild rice, and we became buddies in the kitchen. And every movie after that, we started competing, making sauerbraten, you know. And Uwe's a boxer, and he's, you know, very educated. He has 2 advanced degrees, so we got along. You know, his sense of humor is weird, and you know, the way he approached movies, he wanted to make movies that were important to him, and he also tried to make very commercial movies. So the ones that were important to him, I think he worked harder on. And the ones that he was making, you know, to make money, he didn't seem as excited about it. Like, if he was given this script, It Crawls, he would have just made the monster movie. He wouldn't have done what Dale did, which is find out what are the people feeling in this. You know, and that's what an actor can concentrate on, is their feelings and, you know, what is happening to them, rather than just, the monster. You know, it's, It Crawls. The reason that it's a great movie is because it's about people's trapped in this situation, where it's really not just a monster movie. It could have been a lot of things. I heard that about the zombie craze. It's really not about the zombies. It's about being helpless, you know, and the government has collapsed and society has collapsed. And that's really what makes people want to watch it, is what would happen. You know, the zombies are just like a metaphor for loss of control and chaos. The reason It Crawls works is because it's on a much deeper level.
Yeah, definitely agree. Final question, Dale. I told you before the interview started, I've probably interviewed maybe 7 or 8, if that, fellow Filipinos in my 30 years of doing interviews. Usually with Filipinos, whenever we meet, the first question that we ask is, have you been to the Philippines, or have you been back? Or if so, when will you go again? So that's my final question to you.
Wow. Funny. Michael and I are thinking, let's go to the Philippines and do something, right?
Yeah.
We see that every time we meet. What are we going to go to the Philippines and do something? Let's talk to Dean Devlin. Maybe he can make something happen. I love to work with all the, you know, Michael Paré and Dean Devlin, because he's doing stuff out there. But yeah, I did go back a few years ago. I did a drama called 100 Yards. And we went to Cebu, and man, I hadn't been back since 75, as a little child, to visit my family, my parents' family. And I didn't think I'd ever go back. But that door opened up and I went over there, and I have to say it was a highlight, milestone in my whole timeline of existence to experience that and be there in that beautiful place and those people, beautiful folks, and to make a movie. It was just wow. And I just would love to do it again. And I've got a couple ideas, but you know, it's a little tough traveling right now and all that, but yeah, it's definitely, you know, in the head to go back. I would love it.
So Michael, very quickly, you're open to going to the Philippines for a while, shooting with Dale and doing a movie over there. I don't know if you've ever been there. It's amazing. So
I would love to go there. And you know what? Because we had that big military base there for so long, there's plenty of opportunity for drama and conflict and adventure there.
Right. Thank you guys so much for your time. Dale, if you ever set up some kind of GoFundMe project, hit me up. I'm going to put my own money on it. So I'm going to promote it.
That's very nice. Thanks, Greg.
Okay, thank you guys so much for your time.
Thanks, guys.
Really appreciate it. Take care.